Corinthians chapter 5 again. Now, since so many people have been out sick and so many people have been on vacation and different things, I think this is a very needful study. We've been doing on witnessing. So we're going to cover some ground two or three different times. And then I know that I'm sure that Paul and Julie are interested too, and Lord willing, they'll be back next Wednesday for that meal service. We'll probably go over this again. We're going to add to it each time, but we're going to go back and pick up what we've already talked about, at least a little bit of detail, because this is one very needful study for church folks. I believe that wholeheartedly, and we've talked about witnessing a lot in the last few weeks, but it's not going to hurt anything. Keep talking about it for a little while, amen. And we know we're not just talking about soul winning, we're talking about purpose. We're talking about purpose, what our purpose is. And our purpose isn't just to be saved and have all the happiness that the world can give you, or alleged happiness without the joy of Christ. Our purpose is to be on the front lines in the battle, you know, and you get to a point where you can't do the same things you used to do, but God switches you and gives you different things to do. God's got something for you to do or you wouldn't be here. If you're saved, He still has something for you to do, and He has a way for you to serve Him. We're going to talk about some of that stuff because I don't want anybody getting discouraged. And, you know, we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll all stand before all the saved folks will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But you might get discouraged and go, well, I can't go hold a sign for 2 hours. I can't street preach. I don't get to Walmart 85 times a day like I used to and all that stuff. You know, I don't go out to eat 6 times a week like I used to or whatever. Bill says 7. But there are so many different opportunities that you can do from your own home even. I'm not going to overlook or gloss over prayer, how important it is. You can pray anywhere, but pray about the outreaches. But that's not what we're talking about necessarily. We're talking about personal witnessing also, mainly. So we'll look at this again. We'll read these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now see, right there is where this prosperity stuff gets kicked in the britches. It's not about living for us. It's about living for the one that died for us. And that's what that just said. Let's read it again. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live, as some by saved people, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth we know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that's what we have. He has given everybody in here the ministry of reconciliation. So if we think about that, again, we'll talk about this for a second. We have God, and we have man, and sin has separated man from God. Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. When you go to Calvary and trust Christ, you're judged dead and alive in Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not me that's living anymore, it's Christ, because I'm dead to me. I'm dead as far as God's concerned, you're judged dead. And that sin debt's paid, so when you get saved, that's gone. And now you're reconciled to God. You can talk to him, and he can talk to you. You're brought back together in the relationship he wanted, because he bought you back, he purchased you back, he adopted you into his family. Now you're a child of God. And our job is to tell people how that reconciliation takes place so they can be reconciled. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, trust him, and count it on his blood and his death, burial, and resurrection, that's what he did. He reconciled you. He said, now we can have a relationship. Not only a relationship, we can have fellowship. The lost world doesn't have fellowship with God. God can hear a lost man's prayers because Cornelius' alms and prayers were heard and he was lost. But they don't have fellowship where they go to God and ask, you know, and God takes care of some lost people and gives them a chance. But we talk about folks we're praying for on the prayer list that just breaks my heart and a lot of our hearts to think about the folks that have had years and years and years and years and years and opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get saved, and they just reject it. But I think a lot of times that they've been told things and they've heard things and seen things and it's been in their mind, but it's never got to their heart. And that's where the Bible comes in. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And that's where we get to witnessing. Witnessing is not just, hey, Jesus is my brother. Hey, you know, God loves everybody and all that. Witnessing is saying, look, we all deserve to go to hell. For all sin to come short of the glory of God. We all deserve it. We're all sinners. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's offering you a gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's a gift cost you? It costs you nothing. So God is offering to give you eternal life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He wants to give you everlasting life. Well, how does that come about? By realizing you're a sinner, realizing He died, was buried, and rose again, trusting in His blood atonement and His resurrection, and calling on Him and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Because people got to realize they're going to hell before they get saved. That you can't have conviction and repentance if you're not guilty. You got to be guilty. And all this stuff, I had somebody call me the other day and said, hey, I'm from this outreach, and we want to reach the children all around the world, and we're going to send them this user-friendly gospel thing. And I said, well, can you give me a copy of it to see what it says? It's a child-friendly gospel. And I'm like, the gospel's the gospel. I want to see what this says if we're going to even think about or pray about supporting it. Because if it's not giving them the truth, we're not supporting it. We're not even going to pray about it. You don't have to pray about some things. If it's just telling people, hey, Jesus is good, and you can add Him to your life and everything, that's not the gospel. So they're supposed to send us one of their booklets. I don't know if they will or not, but if it's legitimate, praise God, we'll pray about that. Maybe get involved in that. But I don't want a bunch of little kids thinking they're saved when they're not. Amen. That's the reason kids are safe when they're young, before they can actually understand stuff, because they have to be able to understand what sin is and understand they are sinners before they get saved. And then you can have a repentant heart and trust Christ. But so then faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So we're supposed to give people the Word of God. That's why the tracts are such a wonderful thing, because if you're not really good dealing with people you don't know, I mean, there are some people you know you can witness to. That's tougher sometimes than dealing with people you don't know. But I mean, if you're not good with people, like, you know, I'm just not a people person. Well, you can give them a track, or you can mail them a track, or whatever. We can talk about some of that later. But the main thing is they've got the Word of God. And if they read it, then they're going to have to accept it or reject it. Now, you and I can say whatever they want to, and they're like, yeah, whatever, you're an idiot. Okay, so I'm an idiot. That doesn't mean anything to me, you, or God. Whatever, He knew that before you told me. So what? But if they look at God's Word and they reject that, that's on them. You know, because everybody's telling them all different stuff about religion. But if you're showing them Bible and they reject the Bible, reject Scripture, that's on them. But it's on us if we don't give it to them. You know, this Girl Scout Milk Toast witnessing thing, and there's a lot of that going on YouTube. Yeah, amen. You know, hey, yeah, they're laughing out there. Oh, I guess I'll get saved. Oh, look, they got saved. They didn't get saved. They weren't even convicted. You didn't even tell them they was lost. They don't even know what saved is. There's a lot of that going on. And then they end up in Joel Steen's church or, you know, something like that. Happy, happy, happy. And they're lost on their way to hell and happy. They're deceived. And that's why we give them the Word of God. But that ministry of reconciliation is telling people what Jesus Christ did and how they can get to have a relationship with God. And that's another hurdle you run into, is people think, well, we're all God's children. No. If you're saved, you're a child of God. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, is what it says in John chapter 1, in the book of John. And that means you're adopted into the family of God when you trust Jesus Christ, believe on Him. Before that, Jesus Christ Himself, they'd have to argue with Jesus on this, Jesus Christ Himself told the religious crowd that were trying to do pretty good that they were children of the devil. So lost people belong to the devil, and they're going to go where the devil goes. If they don't get saved. When they get saved, they're reconciled to God and they're out of that mess. So our ministry of reconciliation is based on the faith that comes by the hearing of the Word of God. You can go out, you could be a great motivational speaker, you could be a good person, and you could just, you know, have that charisma, you know, like they say Trump has and all these other people. I've been around some people that have a spooky aura about them. And you get in a room with them, it's like, good night. It's like they got some kind of weird power on them, and it's not always good. But you can convince somebody in their mind of something, But God's Word deals with the heart. I'm telling you, you got to be careful, because witnessing, it's about the Word of God. That's why a lot of times, that's why I pray a lot that Janet, Dr. Davda, and all the other people we're praying for, that somebody out of nowhere just gives them the Word of God. Somebody they don't even know to verify everything they've been hearing. Somebody just out of nowhere, they can see it's nobody but God could have lined it up and just drops the bomb on them from the Word of God, and they go, whoa. Because that Word of God will convict them. But that's what they need a lot of times, because they get familiar with people and they go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And they got people telling them one thing, people telling them another. But God just sends somebody in there, show them up. You know, the water softener goes bad. And they go down there and they're like, oh, well, you got me a new one. That's been... Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. You know, God just lines it up. And they're like, ooh, this is eerie. Yeah. Because God will do that when they're thinking about it. But, man, I don't know. Maybe this God stuff. And he'll send somebody in there just to give them the word. And just to break up the fallow ground of that heart and just work them over. But it comes from the word. The ministry of reconciliation, that is our purpose. Ultimately, Gateway Baptist Church is, the purpose of this church is to propagate the ministry of reconciliation. My job is to encourage you to fall in love with Jesus Christ and do it for Him. Your job is to do what God calls you to do. And my job is to warn you, hey, look, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, all this stuff about, well, I'm saved, and that's fine, you know. And you go to most churches, a lot of churches, a lot of churches, and they go, well, we're saved, praise God, praise God, praise God, rock concert, cheerleaders, and all that. But they never get around the fact that we're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be judged. And he's going to go, man, you had the best cheerleaders at your church. Some of your rock concerts sold out. He don't care about that stuff. Matter of fact, he's against 99% of it. What he cares about it is what you did with what his son did for you. So the blood of Christ and the atonement through the death, burial, and resurrection, that's our ministry. That's our purpose. Now, I understand, I'm not saying you can't have a job, you can't go to the store, you can't. Your whole life has to be about witnessing, but witnessing ought to be part of your whole life. Amen? It really ought to be. And let's see here. I'm going to talk about a few things, different things that we've talked about before. I'm a day late on this one, I apologize. But one thing you can do is hand these out at garage sales. Sorry about that, I could tell you. Bill says, I just had a garage sale. Well, you're going to have another one, Bill, because we got all these tracks. Just one table, though, right? Because, and you always have goodwill on speed dial. We're bringing this stuff to you, amen. But I got some other tracks that, tell you a quick story about what happened this morning. I was looking for, I got a bunch of different ways that we can witness, but I was looking for a book that I read a long time ago called 90 Ways to Witness or something like that. And I got in there, I found these tracks I hadn't seen for a while, I forgot I had. So I got these, stuck them in my pocket, got these, and I wanted to bring these so I can show them to you. These are chick tracks. Some of them are really good, some of them, eh. But we don't have to use all of them, but we can pick some chick tracks that you, if you like it, pray about it. If you want us to get more, we'll get some more. And the reason I say it, I'm not just going to force feed you a bunch of tracks. I'm going to give you some options. You can do what you want with them. You pray about it and say, hey, I know somebody that would really be good for them to read that one. You know, because we've got Caught, this guy in a web. We've got The Word, Became Flesh, The Outcast. I mean, tell me you didn't think of 10 people when I showed you that one. Just tell me you didn't see somebody walking down the sidewalk with a backpack. I mean, come on now. We've got all kinds of stuff. This Was Your Life. This is a great one. And we're going to get a bunch of these, Lord willing. But some of these other ones, too. I'll put these out in the rack. You can look at, or leave them up here. You can look at them. These are Tell It Like It Is, The Real Issue. These are really neat. You can check these out. You don't have to use them, but it's a really neat track. And it really, a lot of people read it just because it's like a cartoon. That's the same with the chick tracks. But these are really good tracks, and they make people think, and they've got a lot of scripture in them. So I'm not telling you have to use any of these, but check them out and see what we've got available and pray about it. And the Lord will speak to you and say, hey, I know John down the road, this really one will give John, you know, or whatever. But these are really good tracks. Tell you the rest of that story, I was going to tell you. So I needed to get some tires on the truck because the air was getting to be on the wrong side of the tread and too much of it. And call Walmart and they say, well, you know, you bring them in and we'll change them for $20 tire mounted balance, out the door, $87 or $84 or whatever it was. Oh, that ain't bad. Get to Walmart and they said, we can't put those on your truck because the ones on your truck are one size and the ones you brought us are another. I said, yeah, the ones on it are the wrong size. Yeah, we can't do that. I'm like, that's the first time in my life I've been to Walmart Automotive and there wasn't anybody there. They could have actually got me in. I said, so the first time in my entire life you could actually help me and you can't help me. And I said, but you know what? I said, Lord, don't make mistakes. And I had two of these in my pocket and there was two guys standing there. I said, I think he wanted you to have one. He said, man. So I thought, praise the Lord, got the witnesses. And they took them, and the guy standing there, a veteran, I just told him, thank you for your military service. And he said, hey, that's a PBI track. He said, you go to a Bible-believing church around here? I said, yeah. He goes, we start talking about the Bible. And I said, where do you go? He goes, oh, some church over here. I said, how'd you find a church that's not a Baptist church that believes the Bible? He goes, I didn't. He said, they're good folks. They don't believe anything. He said, I don't believe that book. I don't believe anything in it. He said, but they're nice people. And he said he'd come visit. I said, okay, praise the Lord, come visit. Tell you where we're at. But it's because of that. I mean, God lined it up. It's just amazing what the Lord does. Now, whether or not the guy actually shows up or not, the Lord's done his job. Not done an attempt at my job, amen. Now, whether that guy does actually show up. But that's the kind of stuff the Lord does all the time. I mean, he just does that all the time. And we'll get these tracks up here so you can take a look at them and put some out in the track rack. And again, we've talked about this before. If we're going out to eat, thank you for your hospitality. If you're not a tipper at all, or if you tip a penny, don't leave these. You know, leave a couple bucks there and throw it on the table. And, you know, hey, praise the Lord. They'll check it out. And veterans tracks, like we talked about before, veterans running around with hats all over the place. Hey, thank you for your service. Appreciate your sacrifice. And they'll say, you know, thank you, it was my honor, or, you know, thank you for thanking me, or whatever. They say all kinds of stuff. So let me tell you about the greatest sacrifice there ever was. It was Jesus Christ. Most time they'll just take it because it's got that on it. And a lot of times they'll say, amen, brother. You know, that's what the guy at the tire shop said. But, you know, the funny thing is, Walmart was going to charge me, it was going to be like, to carry the tires in, it was going to be $26 more than if I brought it in on the truck. Because they charge you, they penalize you. I ended up, I'm really not off track, bear with me. I ended up at Firestone, and the guy said, look, here, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to mount balance all of them. And then he charged me $67. So not only did God work out an opportunity to witness, but he's seen mercy, had mercy on me, and saved us half of the money, and sent us to a place that usually would have been twice as much. I mean, that God's all over that. You know what he's encouraged me to do? To not quit. That's what he does. Because he says, I'm still in this. And that's what he'll tell you when the devil says quit, nobody cares anymore. God will show you that he's still in it. Amen. And you know, the $67 or whatever we saved is not going to make us or break us. But it's just God saying, hey, handfuls on purpose. Amen. Here we got this one. You can be debt free. Like we talked about before, most people in America are in debt. The vast majority of people in debt, and you go to the poorer people that, you know, that are working hard, seems like they can't get a break. Actually, God's probably giving them a break by keeping them in a position where they're looking for something. Because a lot of rich people, they don't care. They care less about God. You know, not all, but most poor people are looking for truth. They're looking for help. Amen. But there's something that'd be interesting to them. You can be debt free. And then translate that over into, hey, we've all had a debt, and Jesus Christ paid it on Calvary. And then we have the Spanish tracks, the one door. You know, that basically tells them it's not Mary, it's Jesus Christ, and explains what he done for them. Let's see. It's got a lot of good verses in it, a lot of good witnessing verses in it. And then we also have some to my Catholic friends down there with Rosary beads on. If you know they're Catholic and you know they're Spanish, which a lot of them are, most of them in Mexico are. If you know for sure they're Catholic, you can give them one of them. And they'll go, oh, you know, they'll see that beads, and they'll go, I'm going to read that, because that's something about religion. And then when they read it, they're like, oh, maybe I just need to trust Jesus Christ. But there's some options there that we have. And talk real quick, just a few minutes, about ways to get the word out. We talked about restaurants, we talked about garage sales, talk about calling folks. That's kind of you're pretty much limited to who you know now because of cell phones, but there are still landlines. If you have a phone book, and it's an updated phone book, there are still probably half the people in a small town that have landlines, or maybe a third that have landlines. I mean, you could always go through the phone book and say, hey, this is so-and-so, I just want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and invite you to come visit us. Or put a tract in your neighbor's, on your neighbor's porch, hang it, get a hang bag, put it on your neighbor's porch, go do a block, or whatever you're comfortable with. Now, some of y'all might not be comfortable doing that. I'm just giving you ideas. You don't have to do all this stuff. I'll give you a lot of stuff to pick from. You can do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Leave them in public places, in the stores, laundromats. Me and Jim have been to the laundromat a few times handing out tracts. And office buildings, doctor's offices, hospitals, waiting rooms. You can always leave a stack of tracts in the waiting room. And you're not responsible for what happens to them after you leave, if the janitor gets them out of there or whatever, but you leave a stack of tracts. I've been to the hospital and went back 3 or 4 days later, and the stack, they're still there. Or some of them are. Elevators, you can leave them in elevators. You can leave them in bus seats. There aren't much bus use like before. Restrooms, hotel Bible. Hotel Bible's a real good place to put them. You got to find a Gideon Bible or whatever. I always look for like John 3:16 or something, stick a track in there. And if the Mormons leave anything, or Jehovah's Witnesses, if they leave any of their stuff anywhere, I always try to stick a track in their stuff. Because if somebody's actually going to read that garbage, at least the truth would be in it then. Hey, it's garbage from the devil. They're being lied to by these people. But they do get out there and they put them in different places. And if you see it, you can slip a track in there. Personally, I throw their stuff away and put Bible-believing stuff up there, but, you know, whatever. I don't think the Lord's upset about that. You can leave them on ATM machines. And if you read library books, you can put them in the library book. Leave them in there. I wouldn't put them in the card thing. I'd just put them in the middle of the book, because when they find it, when they put a card in it, if they even use cards anymore. Yeah, I didn't know some of the small-town ones did or not, but yeah, they probably just... Bill Gates scans them from his house. I don't know how they do it. But library books, put them in your bills, your bill envelopes when you mail your bills in. I know a lot of folks still mail bills in. We still mail some of ours in, some of them online. I heard somebody say, hey, you could always put them in with your bills, but pay your bills on time. And I'm going, what about people in the collections department? They need witness too. So at least once a year, pay it late. No. Okay. They probably really need it. Okay.
How about the IRS?
Yeah, I would send that in a non-return addressed envelope with no name. Yeah, you got to send money into them. I talked to one of them a couple years ago. I don't know if they make their name up or not. It was a real common name, Mr. Jones, Mr. Johnson, something like that. But anyway, I ended up on $1,200 or something. The tax man goofed up, and I said, they sent me a letter. It said, we've received your payment. Thank you for your payment. It was a really nice letter, really. You know, we've come to realize you owe us $1,200. I'm like, my tax man told me that. He just told me too late, so I didn't prepay it. So I called the guy up, and I said, look, talked to him about the Lord a little bit, and I said, look, I'm an American. I said, more importantly, I'm a Christian. I believe in paying my taxes. I said, I apologize. I said, but I don't believe God makes mistakes. And I said, I want to talk to you about, talk to him about Jesus Christ. Got to talk to him about the Lord. Another thing you can do is those annoying phone calls you get, witness to them. You'd be surprised. First of all, they probably never call back if they don't want to hear it. And second of all, which would be a blessing, but you got to witness to them. And second of all, you get to lead somebody to the Lord on the phone once in a while. We had that, blessed with that opportunity here about a week ago. 30-year-old girl named Crystal. Got to lead her to the Lord. She prayed the sinner's prayer. Not the sinner, like there's a cut and dry prayer, but she prayed and asked the Lord to forgive her and save her. 30 years old, 2 kids. I mean, all she was looking for was some hope. And she just had a terrible story to tell, and she was hurting. And she got to talk for a little while, and then the Lord opened the door, and she was ready to get saved. And I've had a lot of people will call and they'll say, hey, you know, and we rent. We don't own a house. We rent. So they'll call and sell me vinyl siding or vinyl windows or new roof or something like that. Can we use your house for a test house? And we'll only charge you $80,000 or whatever. I just let them go and talk. And I go, look, man, I actually rent, but I appreciate your phone call. I gave you 3 minutes. Why don't you give me two? And I go, what do you got? Or something like that. A lot of times I go, what you got? And so, well, I got Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what he did. And just take him through the plan of salvation. And sometimes they're like, yeah, whatever, and blow it off. And sometimes I've had it more than once in the last couple of years, several times actually, because of our bad internet service and other things. I've had them say, I really needed to hear that. Thank you so much. And I've had people call this church that only deal with churches, and I've witnessed to them, and they say, you know, they're the first church that ever witnessed me? Wow. Do you believe that? Wow. Witness to them on the phone when they're trying to sell something to the churches. Mm-hmm. They target churches, and they call churches all the time. You're the only church that ever asked me if I knew where I was going. Wow. Do you believe that? That's sad. That's sad. You know what's even sadder? I'm not batting 100%. There have been times I get phone calls at home and I'm not in a good mood and they've called me 15 times in a row and I'm like, I ain't got time right now. I'm not trying to be mean to them. But then I think, oh man, I'll never talk to that same person again probably. I could have witnessed to them. Amen? But then God says, all right, idiot, just witness to the next one. And the next thing you know, three or four down the road, somebody's getting saved or thanking you for it. And it's just nice to hear somebody say, hey, that was really a blessing to hear. Yeah. Instead of saying, yeah, take your religion and go on down the road with it. There are people out there looking and hurting and looking for truth. Let's see, another way you can deal with things, you can give things to your neighbors, of course. Scam mail. I don't open your scam emails. Scott will tell you on that. Don't open that stuff, amen. That stuff will mess your world up. And you're not going to get to witness to anybody anyway, because you can't even get back to those addresses. They're just looking to plant junk in your phone or in your computer. But you get the scam mail, the junk mail. You can mail stuff back to the address on the junk mail. I mean, Globe Life, I'll mail stuff back to them. I'll mail stuff back to, what is that, if you're over 50, they're trying to get you to join it? AARP, that communist organization. Yeah, I know everybody's part of AARP. I'm just telling you that they're on the commie side. But you guys probably don't remember all that stuff, what was going on with AARP and Trump and Obama and all that stuff. Anyway, with the health care issues. But anyway, they were pushing for nationalized health care and all that. But anyway, we can mail stuff back to them. You know, if somebody sends you something for vinyl windows or whatever, stick something in the mailbox. Thank you for your ad. We don't need windows this time, but I'd like to give you something. If you sell something, somebody comes to pick it up, hand it to them. If you sell something online, you're mailing it off, put a track in there. You know, there's a million different things to do that you can do from your home. I don't want you to be discouraged and think, well, what am I going to do? I can't walk 10 blocks. You know? Been there. I messed my knee up so bad I couldn't walk 10 feet before. You know, I've had 2 or 3 months of that. I know what you're talking about. But there's something you can do. The Jehovah's Witnesses send us mail. We fire back. You can be kinder than I am to them, but I don't like it. I'm telling them to get saved and quit sending all their garbage to these people and messing them up. But you can just send them a track and tell them you love them, you're praying for them. Amen. I'll do the other stuff. I don't mind doing that because this is a battle. This is a war, and I'm not going to soft shoe all of it. Sometimes I feel like we need to put the pedal down a little bit more than others. Lay them on candy dispensers. There's still some of those around. Arcade rooms. I know it's hard to believe, but there still are. Walmarts have them. They got those little rooms off to the side. Anywhere you go, if you got a track in your pocket, God will give you the opportunity. And if you're like me, every once in a while, you'll pass up the opportunity and kick yourself, and God will help you. But help you kick yourself. But if you don't have them, you can't give them out. Yeah, that's right. But if you do, you can. So there's just some things anybody think of an idea that I haven't mentioned yet? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Young man who was a Christian, he said, thank you, because I said, are you a Christian? He goes, I sure am. There's just something about
Yeah.
So one time I had to call because there was a charge on my credit card, and I didn't know what it was, and it's where Mike gets his haircut. It's called Prime Cuts.
Yeah.
I was thinking meat.
Steak. Yeah.
He said, "Well, honey, let me check that out." And then I said, "Sister, are you a Christian?" "I sure am, praise God." And I just, me and her half was like, "How
about that?" Well, that, like you're talking about, though, even in standing in the checkout line.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before, how God opens those doors up.
Yeah.
You'll be standing there, and even if you don't feel like talking to somebody or whatever, and they'll say something to you, almost inevitably, somebody's going to open the door up. You know, man, I can't believe this stuff's so high. Everything's so expensive. Let me tell you about the most important thing in the world, and it's free. Most important thing you ever had to need to hear, and it's free. And it's just an opportunity. What are they going to say? They start talking to you first. And all you did was come back with, here's something free. And then, like I said before, I like to tell people a lot of times, let me give you something. So you're asking them for permission to give them something. It's less threatening. And they say, sure, what is it? And I've had a couple people hand it back and say, no, I'm not interested. But 99% of the time, they just take it. And, you know, there's something else I was thinking about. It left my mind. So, yeah, standing in line, like Sister Debbie said, at the grocery stores or wherever you're at, you getting your car worked on or whatever, sister. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It works that way sometimes. I mean, like I said with the telecallers,
yeah.
You know, that sometimes they get mad and never call back, but that's not our job, is to make them happy. Our job is to try to get them saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, brother?
A lot of times with gas station pumps where they got the credit cards.
Yeah, that's a good one. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you'd be surprised, you know, people read them. I mean, they got to watch TV at the gas pump now anyway, so they might as well be reading something too, amen? Isn't that crazy? Like I say, it's a lot of times it's the 270-pound biker that's completely covered with tattoos from the eyebrows to the toes, and you hand him the tract and you go, hey, thanks, man, I've been worried about that, you know? You don't know what God's doing. We don't know what God, he does. But I've been surprised in a good way more often than not. But I've been surprised the other way too, you know. The innocent little old lady that give you the what for. But, you know, a lot of times it's the big burly guy that he might look tough and all that, but he's still got to go home and look in the mirror at the guy that's causing him more trouble than anybody else. Amen. And then Lord work him over. Lord fix that stuff. But anything else? Anybody else? Any ideas before we wrap up? Yeah, give them to your dentist or your doctors. And, yeah. Yeah, I remember one of the first times, well, it wasn't the first time, it was one of the first times I went to Mac's house to talk to him, and I remember he had a furnace guy, propane guy, fuel oil guy, or somebody there, and he was leaving, and I handed him a tract, and Brother Mac says, yeah, I was just witnessing him inside. Like, praise the Lord, amen? I mean, when you, I don't like it when our furnace breaks down. Lord, please let our furnace keep running. Please let our central air keep running. I'm witness people. I will, but don't make it the central air guy. You know, but when that stuff happens, it's another opportunity, whether we like it or not, you know. Brother Robert?
The packs here, they have our backup, right?
Yeah. That's another thing I wanted to bring up. I'm glad you said that. Some people put them in open car windows and stuff like that. I wouldn't put the ones with our name on it. You want to get some tracks that aren't stamped and fly them in car windows or put them under windshield wipers? I'm not against that at all. I just don't think we ought to put our church name on them, having the police show up at our church going, hey, you were tampering the motor vehicle. Yeah, I mean, I've done that before. I've went to witness and they get out before I do and I'll slip it in their window, whatever. But yeah, try to use the ones that aren't marked if you're going to do something that's on the edge. I mean, I'll try my best to witness the police when they show up, but anyway. Yeah, what else were you going to say?
That's what I was going to say. At times, it's just like I thought about that between, I do a lot of shopping now in Austin. And between Walmart, Dollar Store, Kroger. I look at all these cars I pass. So it's just like if we have unmarked them, that's probably the better one.
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, out of the thousands and thousands of tracks that get handed out a year, a lot of tracks get handed out this place. Nobody shows up, church. They don't even show up when they tell you. They swear on the Bible and they don't show up. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if the address is on there or not. It's not about getting people in. It's about getting people saved. But, yeah, I like to give people local and people that are looking for churches. Now, honestly, if we're going to a gay pride parade, I'm not handing out church address. I don't want them outside picking in our church and causing a bunch of trouble and all that junk. Matter of fact, they'd get saved and go to the First Baptist. Or, no, go somewhere else. Hey, once they've been that far down the road, I don't want them around our kids here. But the thing is, there are times I hand out tracts that absolutely do not have our information on them. I wouldn't give it to them. Because I don't want to be on the news for, you know, have Jesse Jackson out here talking about the gay pride parade or some crazy stuff. That's not what I'm here for. We're here to try to get the gospel out. That's a battle. I don't want to fight battles that are unnecessary, man. We're supposed to be unified on getting the gospel out, not on stirring up trouble at the abortion clinic and goofy stuff like that. Amen. And I'm not against, I'm against that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think God's called us to go down and just fire up the people at the abortion clinic, and that's going to be our ministry.
Amen.
It's to get people reconciled to Christ. Sister?
I'm going to be for this. I was listening to you. I try not to listen to you too much. It's so discouraging. But an actress was, she's going to play Snow White. Disney is just...
Yeah, it's all crazy. Well, I mean, the God's making them be honest about what they're doing, I guess. I don't know. Give the dwarfs a track, too. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. You guys come up with some really good ideas, some things I forgot about, things I hadn't thought about. But, yeah, you can also, another thing you can do is get you a phone book and just get you a stack of envelopes. And if you want to do it, if you come to me, I will buy the stamps, the envelopes, give them to you. I'll get the ones you don't have to lick. Amen. I'll put the stamps on them for you. If you want to go through and write people's address down, mail them a track with no return address, I don't care. We'll get them out there. We will supply anything you need to do whatever you feel like God wants you to do as long as it's within the bounds of the Bible. Amen? But as far as that track ministry, you can do that from home. I mean, you all could say, hey, there's seven of us that, or eight of us, or four of us that would like to do this. You get this street, you get that street, you get the other street, you get this page in the phone book, and we'll mail stuff out. You know, and then whether, you know, you don't even have to have a church address on it. Our job is to get the gospel out. And we're going to do the best we can to. Brother Robert.
I'm forever giving the Jehovah's Witness of Sutton Town here. I'm forever giving them credit for what they've done. I don't know if it's the same person or different, or people from there always wanting to send me
Yeah.
That it's just like, you know, now that I think about it, it's just like more and more of just like.
You know, honestly though, they don't care about you.
They don't believe
there's a hell even. They could care less about you. They're trying to earn their way into eternity. They could care less about us. But we, even if they're on the enemy's side, we don't want them on that side. We want them reconciled to God. So that's a great idea. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, anytime you can get something fired back to them. And, you know, they sent letters here. I got a letter here, and I sent it back, and I said, look, you need to get saved. You can be kind to them. I usually am, but I was not. I don't think I was unkind. I give them the truth. I said, you guys need to get saved. You don't even believe what the Bible says. This is what you need to do, or you're going to burn in hell. And don't tell me there's no hell. I've got a Bible, you know. And quit trying to send this garbage out to people and damn them to hell. If you don't believe in it, that's fine, if that's your choice. But don't damn other people to hell, you know. So, brother? Yeah, they will. And that's another thing to bring up. We had a Muslim track or two. I don't know if we still have any of those or not, but it basically goes through and tells them how the Bible is what they stole their information from. But their own writings say that Jesus Christ is sinless and in heaven, and their Muhammad needed a Savior. And when you bring that up, they're like, I have to ask my imam about that. I said, yeah, I'd be interested to hear what he has to say.
Right.
Because you can't explain that away, brother. Yeah.
It was uncorrupted. We've got the same manuscripts that he had, and it matches what we have. So it's not confirmed reliable.
And see, the devil, he's more subtle than any beast of the field. I mean, he's subtle, but he preys on people's ignorance.
Yep.
That's why it's important to know what the Bible says. Amen. And if you tell somebody and you don't show them from the Bible, even if they say they don't believe the Bible, they do. They're going to know when that scripture is read. They're going to know in their heart that that's true.
Yep.
What they do with it's up to them. But when you the devil's told people, if you tell them, well, I believe this, the devil's going to send somebody right behind you to say they believe something else. But you gave them Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses can't give them Bible to prove what they believe because it's not biblical. They have to go away from the Bible to do it. You can take the Bible to them and prove what you believe.
Yep.
And you can do it through the tracts.